Okay, today's daf is Bambasra daf Yud Zayin. Today, Be'ez Hashem, we will finish the first parak and begin the second parak of Maseches Bambasra. We left off last time where we were discussing how Avram Avinu did not see Esav become a sinner. Esav began to sin after Avram Avinu died, and he sinned in five ways, and we're going to elaborate on what those five ways are. And then the parak is going to conclude with a number of lists of people who tasted Me'ein Olam Haba, lists of people who weren't affected by the Yetzer Hara, people who were not affected by the Malach HaMaves, people whose bodies didn't decompose, and probably most famously, those who died without any sin, the four people who left this world without having sinned at all. And then we will begin by the second parak of Maseches Bambasra, which talks about harchakas nezikin, what I am limited from doing in my own property, lest it damage somebody else. And that's what the whole parak is going to be about, whether it damaged my neighbor, it might damage the whole city, what kinds of behaviors I have to limit, even within my own property. So the Mishnah is going to first discuss items that one needs to distance from the wall of my neighbor's bar, because if I don't distance them from the wall of his bar, it's likely going to ruin his bar. And then on Amud Beis, we're going to have a machlokas if you're allowed to dig a bar right up against the border of your field. Let's say your neighbor doesn't have any bar in his field yet. Can you dig your bar? If you're the first one to be digging, can you dig right up against the border of the field? And we're going to have a machlokas what that machlokas is about. Is that machlokas about a place where it's a sadah ha'asuya labaros, where it's typical for people to dig baros, and therefore it's likely that my neighbor will want to dig a bar as well? Or is that machlokas dafka in a sada she'ena asuya labaros? The Gemara is going to have 11 rayos about how to paskin in that machlokas. We're not going to get to all 11 today. We're going to, in today's daf, only the first three or so come up in today's daf. So we'll see how far we get. Says the Gemara, we left off on daf tes zayin amud beis. We are at the five averos that Esav Rasha, we might as well pick up again from Amar Rabbi Yochanan, about 10 lines before the end of the page. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Chamesh Averos Avar Osa Rasha Ba Osa Yom. There are five Averos that Rasha did on that day. And what are they? Baal Narumurasa, he violated Narumurasa, Vaharagas HaNefesh, and he killed someone, and V'kafar Pi'ikr, he denied the existence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, V'kafar B'tchias HaMesim, he denied Tchias HaMesim, V'shatas HaBechorah, and he was Mevaza the Bechorah. So these were his five Averos. How do we know he did these things? Baal Narumurasa, we know that he was Baal Narumurasa, K'siv HaChav Yavo Esav Minasada, K'siv HaSam Kibasada Metzah, that it says that Esav came Minasada, and when the Torah describes the Parsha of Narumurasa, it also uses the term Besada. Tosus raises the question in the bottom Tosim Tomar, Valolon Stava Bene Noach, Naram Rasak, I mean Parakarba Misos, Bulus Bal, Yeshlan, the Chesachubavlo Neva Einlehen, that Bulus Bal, Yeshlan, the Chesachubavlo Neva Einlehen. There is such a concept of Eshes Ish by Bene Noach, but there's no such concept of Erisin by Bene Noach. So if Nichlasa, the Chubavlo Neva, she's not a married woman. So why would Esav be held accountable for being Boel and Naram Rasa when there's no such concept for Bnei Noach? Va'omeri, da'afal pishlon et stavu, mikom makom mechur davar. I mean, no one would think it's a mitzvah, right? He definitely didn't think he was doing a good thing by taking someone who was a woman who was designated for another man, even though she hadn't yet technically been boel, the man hadn't been boel her yet. So certainly it's a crass and an incorrect thing to do, just like v'shatas ha'bechora. Where's the isser of being v'shatas ha'bechora, of being mevaza the bechora? There's no formal isser. It just speaks to the personality of the kind of person that would do such a thing. Haragas ha'nefesh, he killed someone, which is interesting, by the way, the fact that we're listing along with murder and kofar be'ikr, we're listing things that are just not nice, that are, you know, that aren't formally surim. So in Mishnah Rabbi Aaron, Rav Aaron Cutler points out that ve'iva zeisav ha'sabachar is the only one that it says explicitly in Chumash. You know, for a guy who committed murder and kofar be'ikr and all these other things, you would think that ve'iva zeisav ha'sabachar wouldn't crack the top five, and yet it's the only one mentioned in Chumash. So he says, no, it's the attitude that underlies all of his sins, meaning that's what causes him to be a sinner. It's that overall attitude of bizayon toward things of kedusha, towards things that matter. Haragas ha'nefesh, k'siv ha'chayef, k'siv ha'sam, ayna li ki ayef ha'nafshi lahargim. That it says ayef over here by Esav. Esav comes back from the field and he's tired, And the pasuk in Yirmiyahu talks about that horgim are ayef, that when one kills, one is tired. V'kafar be'ikr, k'sivhacha lama ze li, u'k'sivhasam ze keli v'anveyu. There's our daf yomi coincidence for the week, that's this week's parasha. Ze keli v'anveyu is a gilu shchina. Ras ha'shiv chaliyam ha'shalah ro'i cheskel ben buzi bin vasa. Ze keli v'anveyu means you're more bats, but you're able to say, I see HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's an absolute strongest acknowledgement in history of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, ze keli v'anveyu. So when you say, Lama ze li, what you're saying is, I don't need what was signified by ze, which is ze keli v'anveyu. That's kfira be'ikr. V'kafar b'tchias ha'mesim. How do I know he's kafar b'tchias ha'mesim? D'chsiv, hine enochi alich lamos. He says, I'm going to die anyway. What do I need any of this for? Implying that there is no need to do anything. No, once he's dead, nothing is going to happen after that point. And we know that he denigrated the Bechara because it says it explicitly in the Pasuk. Yishmael tshuva b'yam of minalan. We also mentioned that Avram Avinu was lucky enough that he got to see Yishmael do tshuva during his lifetime. Well, how do we know that is true? They were sitting in front of Rava, and Rava was dozing a little bit. So the Talmidim started to talk and learning with each other when the Rebbe was dozing a little bit. So Ravina said to Rav Chaim Barbuzi, "Vadei d'amrisu mishmed Rabbi Yossi." You know what they say in the name of Rabbi Yossi? That anytime it says a misa with a lashon of gevia, it's always a misa of tzadikim. I'm like, in. He says, yeah, that's absolutely true. Iva dara mabul. By dara mabul, use the lashon of gevia. It doesn't seem that they were tzadikim. I'm like, anan gevia ve'asifa kamrinan. If it says both the lashon of gevia and asifa, that's what it means. That's when it means that they're tzadikim. Vayishmael duchsev be'gevia ve'asifa. Yishmael, it says both gevia and asifa. Adach Yitabu Rava snapped out of his slumber at that point. He woke up and he responded right away. Amalu Dardiki Hachiyam Rabbi Yochanan Yishmael Asa Tshuva B'Chayi Aviv. Yishmael was a tzaddik. Yishmael did tshuva when his father was still alive. Shneamar VeYikbroso Yitzchak VeYishmael Banav. It says that they buried him. Who buried him? Yitzchak and Yishmael. That Yitzchak came first. So that's an indication that Yishmael did tshuva. VeDilma Derechach Masan Kachash V'Lahu. Now, how do you know that it means that Yishmael let Yitzchak go first? Maybe it's just listing them in the order of their chachma, but not in order of any act that they did or anyone going in front of the other. And Yitzchak was obviously a greater chacham than Yishmael. El me'ata. Now, if you can say that the Torah typically lists them derech chachmasan, when it says ve'yikbru also Esav v'Yakov banav, when it came to burying Yitzchak, and it said that Esav and Yaakov, Esav before Yaakov, so my time alo chashvu derech chachmasan. Why in that spot would we not list them derech achmasan, only when it's burying Avram that we list them derech achmasan? So obviously you see we're not listing derech achmasan. So ve'el mida akdame, from the fact that Yishmael let Yitzchak go first, Adbure. It means that he, from the fact that Yitzchak's name is before Yishmael, it shows that Yishmael let Yitzchak go first. From the fact that he was giving Yitzchak that kavod and he was putting him ahead of him, he was letting Yitzchak take the lead, that shows that Yishmael in fact did tshuva. The Toras Chaim raises the question, the Gemara Sanhedrin Daf Kuv Dalid, the Toras Chaim says, how could it say over here that Yishmael did tshuva? The Gemara Sanhedrin over there says, Bra mezaki Abba lo mezaki Bra, Dichsiv ve'ein miyadi matzil. Ein Avraham matzil as Yishmael, Ein Yitzchak matzil as Esav. Your father could be the biggest tzaddik in the world if the person himself is a Rasha. Not going to help that his father is the biggest tzaddik in the world. And the example that Avram Zuchuyos, not enough to help Yishmael. Yishmael is still Yishmael at the end of the day, which makes it sound like Yishmael is still a Rasha at the end of the day. That he didn't do tshuva, and says the Taurus Chaim, it's not mistaver to say that it's a machlokas between the two sugyas whether Yishmael did tshuva or not, because he must have done tshuva since we have a Tana, Rabbi Yishmael. And we would never have named Rabbi Yishmael, whoever his parents were, they would not have named him after a Rasha, because Shem Rasham Yerkov, you're not allowed to name after a Rasha. So it must be that that everyone agrees he did tshuva, and it's just a big tzaruchiyun, what the Gemara is talking about in Masech Sanhedrin. If you look at Rishonim, it's not so pashut that there's no machlokas. Rishonim in Masechet Yumot Daf Lamed Ches Amud Beis discusses why it is that Rabbi Yishmael is named Rabbi Yishmael Leman Diyamar Shelo Asu Yishmael Tshuva B'Yamav. So he assumes that there is such a Man Diyamar, meaning he understands that Gemara in Sanhedrin Kof Dalet as saying that Yishmael did not do Tshuva. And if you assume like that, he's bothered by the Kasha. He's bothered. How could it be that there was a Tana, Rabbi Yishmael? And he suggests, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself gave Yishmael that name. So what you see is that the name Yishmael is not inherently a bad name. It's a great name. Yishmael was not a Rasha because of his name. Yishmael was a Rasha despite his name, even though it was Yishmael. What kind of, you can't do much better than that as far as the meaning of a name goes. So that's how the Tosfos Yeshayahu suggests. So it's not so clear whether everybody agrees that Yishmael did tshuva or not. Okay, so that's the raya, at least that our Gemara has, that Yishmael did tshuva. Tanu Rabbanan, now we commence our lists. There are three people that in this world already experience me'ein olam haba. Elu hein, Avram, Yitzchak, v'Yakov. Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Avram d'chsiv bei bakol, Yitzchak d'chsiv bei mikol, Yaakov d'chsiv bei kol. And all of these are lashonos of olam haba. Says Tosfos, Teima l'rashba, amai lo chashav nami Iyov. Didn't we just get through in the Iyov Agadah to saying that Iyov also, at when things were going well, experienced me'ein olam haba, that the day that he plowed is when all the plants grew and the animals were already able to graze on the plants on the very day that he plowed. So Yitimil HaKadosh Baruch Hu Me'en Olam Haba says Tosi Yishom Di Iyov Lo Haya L'Bechad Milsa V'Arm Yitzchak Yaakov Nenu Me'en Olam Haba Mikol V'Kol. Iyov experienced one element that was Me'en Olam Haba. And agriculturally, when it came to planting, he had a little bit of a sense of Olam Haba. Avram Yitzchak Yaakov, their entire lives were Me'en Olam Haba at that point. So you see that Bakol Mikol Kol means they didn't lack anything, Rashi says. Right? In Rashi Dibur Maskel Bakol, they lacked for nothing. So if they lacked for nothing, it means they experienced Me'en Olam Haba. The Re'af on the Ein Yaakov raises the question, yeah, but you ever read a Chumash? What happened to Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov in their lifetimes? They lacked for nothing? They suffered terribly in their lifetimes. They went through a lot of very bad things in their lifetimes. How can you say that they lacked for nothing? That they didn't go through anything bad? None of them had a simple, peaceful life. Even Yitzchak had his challenges, although it seems fewer than Avram and Yaakov, but still they all had difficulties. So the Re'af writes that that's what you have to say, that they didn't lack any tova means b'shas misasam. At the time of their death, there was nothing that they were lacking. Ben Yoyada says that they definitely had many tzoros for ra'os. It means that they achieved in Avodas Hashem a level that's me'en olam haba. That's a certain simcha of being close to the Shechina that one would imagine a person can only experience in olam haba. That's what it means. It was me'en olam haba. And the next list, Shlosha lo shalal ben yetzer hara. There are three people that were not controlled, that were not ruled over by the yetzer hara. Elu hein, Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov. D'chsevu bakol mikol kol. V'yeshar m'maf David. And some say David as well. D'chsev v'libi chalal b'kirbi. That I have a hollowness in my heart, meaning I'm missing a yetzer hara. V'idach tzari hu d'kamatka. And the other one says, the other opinion that doesn't include David in the list says that David is lamenting that he's missing something, not that he's suffering, that he has a hole in his heart, not that he's lacking a yetzer hara. So that's the three that don't have that don't have yetzer hara. If you look at Tosus, the third Tosus on the page says ein lefarish shloshal klal. You can't say they don't have yetzer hara at all, because that's a terrible thing. Then they would get no schar for anything that they've done, because a person is only gets schar from tsara agra based on the amount that he has to fight his yetzer hara. So Tosus says no. What it must mean is that they fought the yetzer hara so hard that ultimately they defeated it. So at the later part in their life, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said it's not even worth sending the Yetzer Hara after them, because they've just shown that they're able to defeat the Yetzer Hara no matter what happens. The Bach raises the question why it is that the Brisa doesn't mention Moshe, Aaron, Miriam, that they didn't have a Yetzer Hara, they weren't on the level of Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. So he says, no, it just means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu never stopped coming at them, never stopped the Yetzer Hara from coming at them. He didn't give them that level of Siyata Deshmaya that the Yetzer Hara would quit on them. Tanu Rabbanan, Shisha lo shalal ben Malach HaMavis. There are six that the Malach HaMavis didn't affect. Ve'elu hein, Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Moshe, Aaron, and Miriam. Somewhat curious, we just said that what was it, yesterday's daf, 2 days ago, that the Yetzer and the Malach Mavis are the same guy. And now we're saying that, well, there are three that the Yetzer didn't affect, six that the Malach Mavis didn't affect. So maybe the same Malach, but when he's wearing his Yetzer Hara hat, there were only three that he didn't affect. When he's wearing his Malach Mavis hat, there are six that he didn't affect. Avram Yitzchak V'Yakov D'chsivbu Bakol Mikol Kol Moshe Aaron Miriam D'chsivbu Al Pi Hashem. Everything was Al Pi Hashem. V'Miriam Lo K'siv Al Pi Hashem. By Misas Miriam, by Miriam dying, it doesn't say Al Pi Hashem, meaning Al Pi Hashem would mean that Hashem did it directly instead of sending the Malach Mavis after them. But it doesn't say that by Miriam. So Amar Abelazar Miriam Nami B'Neshika Mesa Das Yasham Shami Moshe. Miriam also died b'neshika. We learn it out from Moshe. Malo nemar ba al pi Hashem. Why doesn't it actually say the words al pi Hashem? Shegnai adavar lomar, that it's a gnai to say about a woman that it was al pi Hashem. But in Achinami, Miriam also died al pi Hashem. Miriam also died b'neshika without the Malach Hamavis. Tanu Rabbanan, Shiva lo shalat ben rima v'taleya. There are seven that were unaffected by worms and decomposition. Ve'elu, meaning after they died. Ve'elu hein Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov Moshe Aaron Miriam Ubinyamin ben Yaakov. Avram Yitzchak Yaakov Duchsivu Bakomi Kolkol. Moshe Aaron Miriam Duchsivu Al Pi Hashem. Binyamin ben Yaakov Duchsiv Ubinyamin Amar Yedid Hashem Yishkol Nevetach Olav. V'yesh Omrim Av David. And some say David as well. Duchsiv Av Besari Yishkol Nevetach. That my flesh will remain secure. V'idachu Rachmei Dukabai. And the other one says, no, that's his tefillah, but it doesn't mean that's what actually happened. If you look at Tosos Shiva Shlo Shaltaban Rima Temel Rashba Dekulut Tzadikinami Dam Shabbos Perik Shoel Vereka Vatzamos Kina Mishi Shlo Kina Beliba Vatzamos Mishen Kina Beliba and Vatzamos Markivin, that the Gemara in Shabbos tells us that the only bodies that decompose are people who had some sort of kina in their lifetimes, so people who were jealous of somebody in their lifetimes. So you mean to tell me these are the only people in history that didn't have kina? There are people like that. There are great tzaddikim that don't have kina. So shouldn't this list be longer of people who didn't decompose? So it says, it could be that there are two things. There's not decomposing, and then there's that the worms won't even get near the body. So it could be that anyone who doesn't have kin is not going to decompose, but nothing about worms. The worms will still be near the body. The Gemara tells Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon, he didn't decompose, but there was still a worm that came out of his ear because the worms still got to him. So over here we're talking about people who not only didn't decompose, the worms didn't get to them either. Tanu Rabbanan, the last list. Arba'a meso b'ityo shel nachash. There are four that died with the ityo shel nachash. What does that mean? So Rashi says it's lashon of eitza, with the eitzah of the nachash, that it, had it not been for the sin of Adam Arishon, following the advice from the Chava, following the advice of the nachash, then they would not have died. They died for man's first sin, not for any sin that they have done, because they didn't do any sins. That is how Rashi says. The Aruch and the Rabbeinu Gershom HaShalem both say that it's a lashon, itio's lashon of kulmus, that the quill of the the nachash, that it was his weapon that kills them. So whatever, it means the same thing, that these people died without having committed any avera of their own. Ve'elu hein, who are these people that never sinned? Binyamin ben Yaakov, v'Amram avi Moshe, v'Yishai avi David, v'Kilov ben David. Most interesting that we don't just mention their names. Each one is mentioned in association with someone great that they were related to. Binyamin, Yaakov's son, Amram, Moshe's father, Yishai, David's father, Kilav, David's son. So I think the Bali Musa like to say that that all four of these people were somewhat secondary characters. I mean, when you think of the ultimate greatness in their families, you think of Yaakov or Yosef, you think of David himself, you don't think of Amram, you don't think of Yishai, you don't think of Kilav, you think of certainly Moshe Rabbeinu rather than Amram, and that sometimes in order to achieve greatness, Sheva Yipol Tzadik V'Kam, a person has to sin in order to overcome that sin, and he achieves a greater Madrega than someone who plays it safe his whole life and never actually falters. That's one point the Bali Musar make. The Maharal says that no, it mentions this because a person cannot achieve a lack of sin unless he also has a little bit of yichus, unless he also has a zuchus of a close relative to aid him in that. So it's their maila, that a part of their maila Laila was that they were able to achieve this because of who they were related to. Now the Tosfos in Masechta Shabbos Daf Nun Hayyam Beis points out that the Pasukim Koheles Perek Zayin says Ki Adam Ein Tzadik Ba'aretz Asher Yasa Tov V'lo Yechta. No such thing as a person who hasn't sinned. So ask Tosfos, how could the Gemara say that there are four people that didn't sin, that died without any sin? I thought there's no such thing as someone who dies without sin. So Tosfos suggests that it's ki adam ein tzadik baritz shiyasa tov lo yechta means, generally speaking, almost never. You almost never have someone who didn't sin. But four exceptions in human history, you could still say it never happens when there are four exceptions in human history. The Marsha says, no, that's making a pasuk inexact. We'd rather not say that the pasuk is being inexact. He says, no, these four people, they sinned at some level, but nothing that would have deserved death. We're saying that they died b'tir shonachas. Doesn't say they didn't sin. They died b'tir shonachas. They didn't sin enough to deserve death. So maybe that's the idea of how to reconcile this with the pasuk. Says Gemara b'kulu Gemara. All four of these people, we only know that they didn't sin based on tradition. Levar miyishai avi David, except for yishai avi David, where it's explicit. The mefarish beikra, it says it straight in the pasuk. Tuchziv v'esa masa. Some of Shalom Tachas Yoav al Atzava, that Amasa was put instead of Yoav as the general. Amasa ben Ish Ushmo Yisra Yisraeli. Amasa was the son of a man named Yisra Yisraeli. Asher Baal Avigail Bas Nochash, who married Avigail Bas Nochash, Achos Tzruya Eim Yoav, the sister of Tzruya, the mother of Yoav. V'chi Bas Nachashi, was she the daughter of a man named Nachash? Balo Bas Yishai, she was the daughter of Yishai. D'chsev Achiosem Tzruya Avigail. So how can you say bas nachash ela bas mi shemeis bityo shel nachash? So it's merumas in the pasuk already that she was the daughter of the one who died bityo shel nachash, but not that her father's name was actually Nachash. Okay, Hadron Lacha Shulpin. Now we begin the second parak of Maseches Basra. And as we said before, this entire parak is about being marchik in your own property to make sure you're not damaging someone else in their property, to make sure you're not damaging a neighbor, to make sure you're not damaging someone else in the city. So we're going to start out with how far you have to stay away from the kosel boro shel chavero. Your friend has a bor in his field. How far do you, and what items do you need to keep away from his kosel bor? There is a machlokes haposkim, what these harchakos in the Mishnah are talking about. Some say that, meaning what their level of obligation to stay away is. Some suggest that these are all chiyuvim midaraisa. Rabbeinu Chananel sounds that way, Masech Sanhedrin, the Bir Agra, and Chosh Mishpatim Kufnun Hey, that this is a chiyuv daraisa to stay away, to be marchik from these nezikin. What would the din daraisa, where's the pasuk? If you want to say it's daraisa, you got to say a pasuk. So the Yad Ramah writes that the pasuk is lifnei iver lo siten michshal, or if you have to l'recha kamocha. The Rush says dracha darchinom chon sivasa shalom. So the Torah is makbid that a person should behave properly and avoid damaging other people. However, others assume, and it sounds this way from Rashi, others assume that it's not considered a mazik mamish midaraisa. These are takanos chazal, that you have to be a good neighbor mitakanos chazal. A person should behave like a good neighbor. So says the Mishnah, what does one have to do in order to be a good neighbor? Lo yachbar adam bar samach leboro shel chavero. A person should not dig a bar near his friend's bar. Velo shiach velo ma'ara, nor should he dig a long, narrow water passage, nor a ma'ara, a cave, velo amas hamayim, nor a pool of water, velo nevrachas kovsin, nor a laundering pool, if it's a pool of water where people do the laundry in, elim kein hirchik mikosel shel chavero shlosha tvachim, unless he stays three tvachim away from his friend's kosel, visad besid, and he also lines it with some cement, with some pitch, he has to keep away to that extent as well. If you look at Rashi, Elim Kain, Memresha Chafira, Smuchel Bar, Machleshes Kosle Abar, Umraposan. When you dig right near another bar, the digging itself is going to weaken the walls of your neighbor's bar. Says Tosfos, Lo Yachbar, Kolhani Airi de Ispu Maya. Tosfos, no, it's not about the digging and the structural damage done by digging and by a lot of banging. That's not what it's about. There's water in these things, and water does a lot of damage. V'taimim, Mishum Matun Shumto Kedamrin B'Gemara. The Gemara is going to highlight that it's all about the moisture, that the moisture is going to be damaging. V'Teima L'Riv, Amrin B'Gemara, Kol Mar Omar the Kamachas. But the Gemara is also going to say in today's daf that every shovel, you know, every bang of the shovel, every dig is going to cause some damage. It doesn't sound like it's about water. It sounds like it's about the shaking of the ground. So there are two elements. The hezek starts in a very minor way when you dig. The shaking of the ground is a very minor hezek. The bulk of the hezek is done by the moisture, is done by the water. What value is it then that you're doing hezek when you're digging? Because it shows that the hezek begins right away with your maisa. Right away as you're digging, the hezek is already beginning. So it's enough to make a giri delay that it's a direct action. It's not only some sort of very indirect kind of grama, and so that's why the Gemara highlights that you're actually shaking the ground. But the real hezek only comes from the moisture. Says the Mishnah further, Umar chikim es hagefes ve'es hazevel, we keep away any olive sediment which apparently could be damaging, or any manure, ve'es hamelech, or salt, ve'es hasid, and any sort of pitch or lime, ve'es hasla'im, and certain types of sla'im of rocks, mikosel shel chaver shlosh tvachim, three tvachim away from your neighbor's kosel, ve'sad besid, and also we're sad besid. So what are sla'im exactly? Says Rashi, avanim sha'or yotzimen, shakorin kulay, shakalelu kashan l'chama, These are rocks that you can make fire with. So they can cause heat, which could be damaging to your friend's kosel. If you look at Tosos writes, Avanim she'esh yotze mehen velo salei nechoshes dein darach lanichan etzel ksalim. We're not talking about pieces of copper, because that's not normal to put right near a wall. Rocks you'll have out in the field near a wall. So we're saying don't do that. Don't put the rocks out in the field near a wall. So it says those Vadam Yerushalmi is Tana Tani Tomnin Bislayim Vis Tana Dein Tomnin. The Yerushalmi asks a stira in Masechah Shabbos that on the one hand we have a Tana that says that you're allowed to do Hatmana Bislayim, and the other one says you're not allowed to do Hatmana Bislayim. So it's a stira, and how does Yerushalmi answer the stira? Kan Bislayim Shel Kesef, Kan Bislayim Shel Nechoshes. It answers there are two types of slime. There's Kesef and there's Nechoshes. So Frek tells us why Kesef and Nechoshes. If you're talking about Hatmana, you would think Dover Mosef Hevel is the worst, right? What's Mosef Hevel? Even more than Nechoshes. What's Mosef Hevel is the rocks that you get fire from. That's why you have to keep it away from the wall. So Matzil Lishnui, Kan Bislayim Shel Avanim, Kan Bislayim Shel Kesef, El Nichle Lishnui Kulu B'Mateches. Eino Chinami, says Tosos. We could have said, the Yerushalmi could have answered that Bishel Avanim, of course, you're not allowed to do Atmana with, because that's very hot. Bishel Kesef, you're allowed to do Atmana with. But we wanted to keep it all within metals and still answer the question. Perhaps one could suggest it's a greater chiddush to say that Nechoshes is Asr. Obviously, Atmana, the Avanim is going to be Asr. That's a greater source of heat. The chiddush is that even the Nechoshes, which is a great conductor of heat, but not such a great source of heat, which, by the way, the Dine Hatmana is Dover Mosef Hevel is not only something that is a source of heat, but it's a conductor of heat to the point that it will keep the food hotter than it otherwise would have kept it, hotter than it otherwise would have gotten. It will get to a more intense heat than it would have gotten. It doesn't need to be a source of heat, even though normally we talk about Atmana, we talk about Kachalim, we talk about coals, which obviously are a heat source, but a towel over an urn could be Atmana B'davar HaMosef Hevel, because the urn is going to get hotter when you have a towel totally wrapped around it, since there is a heat source in the urn, and the towel is going to therefore hold in that heat and make the water hotter than it otherwise would have been. Okay, Marchikin says Ra'im Ves HaMachareisha Ves Meraglayim in HaKosel Shlosh HaTvachim. One has to keep any plants, any Machareisha, any plowing, and any urine away from his friend's wall by three Tvachim. A person has to keep his mill away. There are two parts of the mill. There's one that's one tefach further in than the other. So three tefachim away from the shechev, four tefachim away from the rechev. And the tanur, also three tefachim away from one part of the oven, four tefachim away from the other part of the oven that's more narrow. Rashi says the construction of a tanur was a binyan asui b'shipua. It was made at an angle. It was rachav milamata v'katzer milamalo. Wide at the base, wide at the bottom, narrower at the top. So when you're keeping your tanur far away from the border of the field, from the bottom, it's got to be three tefachim away from the border. The top is four tefachim away from the border because it angles in. That's just the construction of the tanur. If you look at Tosos, the bottom Tosos, Kalya Pirushrach beten de tanur tsar milamata, ube emtsiiso marchiv ubolit vyotzik shir tefachim emtsiiso meitza viola. He says a slightly different construction. It's not that it just started out wide and narrow toward the top. It started out narrow at the bottom, widened toward the middle, and then narrow again at the top. But the idea is the same. Three tefachim from its widest spot, that's how far you need to keep it away from your friend's field. Now it's interesting, we said about being sad besid twice in the Mishnah. In the very beginning of the Mishnah we said, don't dig a bar near your friend's bar or any other type of waterway near your friend's bar unless you're marchik three tefachim vis sad besid. And then we said, keep gefes, zevel, melach, sid, sloim away from your friend's kosel, three tvachim, visad besid. So is it, but over there it wasn't clear, visad besid or osad besid? It seems that we have two different girsaos. So Tosov here points out, nir lari, de besefa nami garas visad besid. You have to have the words visad besid in both the resha and the seifa. Velo garas o. Digarsin b'seifa osad besid, imkein tifshot de b'resha visad besid tanan. The Gemara is going to raise a question. When it says in the resha that when you dig a bar, you have to be three tvachim away, visad besid, does it mean one or the other? Either three tvachim away or sad. The vav sometimes means or. That you have to do one or the other, it doesn't mean that you have to do both. Well, if the seifa says explicitly osad besid, and the resha says visad besid, so isn't it then obvious that the resha means and? Because if the Mishnah uses the word o when it means or, so then why would the Gemara even raise the shaila what it means in the resha? It's obvious that it means and. No, but if it says visad besid by both of them, so then you know it could go either way. It could be and or it could be or, and therefore the Gemara is going to have a reasonable question about that. It's also interesting, what does sid do? Is sid good for your neighbor's bar or is it bad for your neighbor's bar? We're saying one of the things you have to do when you dig a bar is sad besid, and that will strengthen it, that will make it better. But on the list of things you have to keep away from your neighbor's kosel is zevel, melech, sid, and slime. Well, if sid is damaging or sid helps? It sounds like sid is damaging. So the Achronim suggests you have to say that there's a dried sid, it makes it stronger, and when you're mixing cement and it's still moist, so then it makes it weaker. Or there are different types of sid. You have to say something because it can't be both help and something that damages. Okay, says the Gemara. Pasach b'bar v'siyem b'kosel. We start out by talking about a bar, and then we move right into talking about from a kosel of the bar. So which is it? Is it a bar or a kosel of the bar that you're being machik from? Meaning, when you're machik, your bar, do you have to keep three tefachim away from the chalal of your friend's bar, from the actual hole in the ground, or from the wall of his bar? So Amar Abaye v'item Rav Yehuda mikosel baroshaninu. It means from the wall of his bar, that your three tefachim are distanced not from his bar, but from the wall of his bar. There's a certain assumed thickness, which we'll see in a moment what that is. There's a certain assumed thickness to the wall of the bar, that the ground around the bar is considered the wall of the bar. You have to stay three tefachim away from that. So, why don't you just say that you got to be three tefachim away from his bar? Hakamashman, the kosel bar, shalosh tefachim. Now, that's goof what it's teaching me, that the kosel of the bar is three tefachim. Meaning, why do you have to stay three tefachim within your own property? Because three tefachim within your own property is going to be the wall of your bar. That the wall of a bar is exactly three tefachim. Nafkamina lemekach memkar. It has a nafkamina that it's three tefachim if you ever sell a bar. Kedetanya, haomer lechavero, bar v'kosla ani mochalach. If you tell someone, I'm selling you a bar and its walls, tzarek sheya kosel, shalosh tefachim. You need to provide him with three tefachim around the bar because that's assumed to be the walls of the bar. So it says, tells us, why do we have to say nafkamina lemekach memkar? Isn't the nafkamina that you're not allowed to be somech, meaning that's the distance? Why do we have to come up with a new nafkamina that it's three tefachim, that three tefachim is the wall of the bar? The nafkamina is that you have to stay away from the border by three tvachim. So says Zachnach Kusa lo itzrich l'rava. Dalkam ashman dasa lismoch. El abayit savr mutzal lismoch. V'kamer l'may nafkamina ilash min d'bay archak of av tvachim lisni on kinuchim barovav tvachim. He says, according to Abaye is the real kasha. Abaye holds that if you're first, you're allowed to dig the bar right up on the border. So l'may nafkamina, that the wall of a bar is three tvachim, if you're allowed to dig a bar right up on the border, on nafkamina is from mekach memkur. But according to Rava, even if you're first, we're about to see, you're not allowed to dig right up against the border. You have to be marchik three tvachim. So there's your nafkamina, that you have to be marchik three tvachim, even if you're first, even if there is no bar in your friend's field yet. So itmar. So that's what we're about to get into right now. That machlokas Abaye and Rava. One wants to dig a bar next to the border. Abaye Amar Somech. Abaye says, no problem. Go right up until the border. Rava Amar Eno Somech. No, you cannot do that. You need to leave some distance. If it's a place where people typically dig boros, everyone would agree you're not allowed to dig right up against the border. The whole machlokas is if it's a place where people typically don't dig boros. So that's where Abaye Amar Somech. Abaye says you might as well dig right up against the border because you're not going to be damaging your friend's bar in any way because he's not going to have one. He's not going to dig a bar. You decided to be a meshugana and dig a bar in a place that's not a suyil boros. Chances that he's going to do that is eino matzli at all. So you're not really limiting his tashmish of his field. Rava amar eino somech. Rava says, no, you still can't do it. Just like you decided to be a meshugana, I have every right to be a meshugana too. You want to dig a bar in a place that's not ripe for digging boros? Me too. So you can't take away my ability to behave at least the way you're behaving in your field. Yigda Amri, others say no, it's the opposite. Besada she'ena asuya leboros, divra kol somech. That if it's a field that's ena asuya leboros, a place where you do not expect people to dig boros, then everyone would say you are allowed to dig right up against the border. Keep ligi besada asuya leboros. They're only arguing by a sada that's asuya leboros. Abaye Amar somech. Abaye says even though it's asuya leboros, you're allowed to dig right up against the border. The rabbanan dami marchik and asilim in abar esrim. Even the Rabbanan who say that when you plant a tree, you have to keep it 25 amos away from your neighbor's bar, that's only if your neighbor already has a bar. Abaye is going to say, over here, you're first. I don't care that it's a suya leboros. You got there first. He doesn't have a bar yet, so you're not doing any damage when you're being somech. The Tosfos raises the question, well, he's sort of doing damage, because if you're putting a bar there, and he's going to want to plant a tree, so now instead of being 25 amos away from your bar that's a little bit off of the border of the field, he's going to need to stay 25 amos away from the bar that's right on the border of the field. So he's going to have to be a little further. He's going to have to keep his tree a little further. So says Tosos, that's not really called being mazikin, because why does it's a little circular. Why does he have to keep his tree further? So that his tree doesn't damage your bar. It's not the damage your bar is going to do to his tree, it's the damage his tree is going to do to your bar. So the fact that he's going to have to be more careful about being mazik you is not called a limiting of his own usage of his field. But anyway, that's what Abaye says, that if it's a field that's asuya leboros, even then you're allowed to dig a bar right up against the border if you got there first. Rava Amar Eino Samich. Rava says you can't do that. And even Rabbi Yossi holds that you're allowed to plant a tree wherever you want in your property and you don't have to worry about what it's doing in your neighbor's field. That's because when you plant a tree, at that moment you're doing nothing to your neighbor's bar. The concern is one day the roots are going to grow out long enough that it's going to cause damage. Like we saw Tosquoted this Gemara, but over here, at the very moment that you're digging the bar, you're actually weakening the ground. So it's called Girei Delay. It's called that you're doing the damage right then and there. So now the Gemara is going to try to bring Rayas. Tanan, Raya number one. Lo yach baradam bar samach bar. You're not allowed to dig a bar next to your friend's bar. Taima di ikabar, haleka bar somich. Sounds like you're only not allowed to dig because he already has a bar. But if he doesn't have a bar and you got there first, you're allowed to dig. Well, Bishlam alachlishundam besadashen asuya leboros divrei kol somech. If you hold like the lashon that we had, that if it's a sadashen asuya leboros, everyone holds you're allowed to dig. So masnisim sadashen asuya leboros. Then the mission is easy to explain that everyone holds you're allowed to dig. Our mission must be talking about a place that's asuya leboros. Allah hachlish But if you hold that by a sada hasuya libaros, everyone agrees you're not allowed to dig, and by ein hasuya libaros it's a machlokas, well then bishlam labai nicha l'rav akasha. Well then, how's Rav going to explain our Mishnah? Our Mishnah says you're only not allowed to dig if your neighbor already has a bar. But if he doesn't have a bar, no problem. Go right up on the border. Rav never holds that's true. Not by a sada hasuya libaros, not by a sada shein hasuya libaros. How's Rav going to explain the Mishnah? So I'm looking at Rav. That when it says that you're marchik from the bar, it doesn't mean that you're marchik from an actual bar, you're marchik from a kosel bar, which means you have to be marchik from any potential kosel bar. That's how far you have to be marchik. So it could be that you have to be marchik, according to our Mishnah, even if you're the first one there, even if the other guy does not yet have a bar. Okay, but Hashem will do Raya's 2 through 11 tomorrow.